old school NBA thinking versus new school coming up at 9:35. But yeah, let's get into Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Smith Thompson Home Security and Tylock George Laser Eye Care.
It's a fact of our life that I think we've just gotten used to and made an uneasy peace with, or maybe an unreflective peace with, and that is that we are merely beings that almost exist in our culture to be advertised to. And we exchange that ability that we grant others for really cool products at what we perceive as reduced rates. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch ads and that's how you're able to get your programming for free. Although, when you look at it, don't most of us have cable? And we watch programming on cable and we watch ads during that.
Sure.
When you're surfing the internet, you paid for your internet access, but all the websites that you go to, you still get ads there. And even sometimes when you have a paid website, a website that you've paid to have that's behind a paywall, you will still get ads on the other side of that. So ads are just there no matter whether it's a paid service or not. But we never sit there and say, wait a second, I already pay for this. I shouldn't be advertised to as well. We just accept the fact that we're there to be advertised to. Now, for some reason, though, in our, I don't know whether it's our arrogance or ignorance, but we always feel like, yeah, they're there, but I can't be manipulated. Even though we know that the core kernel of advertising is to manipulate you into buying a product. That's their goal, is to use whatever psychological tools that they have to be able to capture your money.
Yeah.
They will appeal to your, they'll put some sexiness in it to appeal to that part of your brain. They'll appeal to your greed. They'll appeal to your sense of status. They are so far advanced psychologically than we think they are. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we always ignore that part of it and have this idea that, yes, psychology is something that applies to all the other humans on the planet. Not to me. I mean, I'm different.
Yeah.
I can't be manipulated.
Just like on Spotify, I have not upgraded to the Prime, so I go through the ads. I put up with it just thinking,
now you're getting
I'm not
going to
pay that. They're going to, yeah. And the ads aren't going to work, whatever. I'll fight through a couple of those, but I'll still just eventually get my songs.
Why do we think that ads don't work on us?
They do. Absolutely,
yes.
They do.
Yeah, it's a very subtle thing that they do, but they will work on you. They grind it into you over time to where that's one of the first things you think about is that company that's, you've heard of their name a million times.
Yep.
So, but ads are historically very inefficient. You know, the old model used to be this widely distributed thing. You buy a commercial on television, and it's broadcast to all 60 million people that are watching that broadcast are all seeing the exact same ad. But with the internet, we've now gotten the ability to target ads much more surgically than we used to in the old days. And so the ads that you see are not the same ads that the person who maybe even sharing your household with you is seeing online, because you each have different computers and you each have a different search history, email history, things you consume, you watch. You'd be shocked at how many trackers are all over, cross-site trackers that are in all this, to where you do have a fingerprint online.
Yeah.
And they know that, and they know how to work you. And how many times have we talked about it on this show, and in our own personal experience, or a P1 sharing their experience of something that we talk about on the show is mentioned. The shake weight, for example. Mm-hmm. We'll just mention shake weight. I'm just pulling that out of thin air. But we mentioned that, and then some P1 will say, I've never seen an ad for that before, and 5 minutes after you guys talked to it on my phone, I saw that I got an ad for that.
Oh, yeah.
On something that I visited. And it leads you to think that, man, are they listening to us? Do they hear what the end consumer is listening to in their environment and then serve them up ads in relation to that? Think about what an effective thing that would be. If you're listening to a radio show and they mention something, and then your phone hears it, and then the next website you go to, one of the side ads, is that product that was just mentioned, that's like subliminal advertising to you.
Yeah.
You may or may not remember that you heard that on the radio show. Or you may remember that they did a whole funny thing about shake weights. I don't know. But the point is that you get it from two vectors now. The same thing from two vectors. And you get it from one or two more vectors, and you know what you start thinking? You start thinking it's your idea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You start thinking, man, I've really been wanting one of those.
We just had a big family discussion about this weekend, and it convinced me that we are being listened to just by all the examples. Oh, yeah. Because I didn't go to a website on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about it, or I was on my laptop, but maybe that's the connection. Maybe it is just a connection through your laptop.
Oh, yeah,
through
it's
your
connected
phone.
With your phone. I mean, all this stuff is highly correlated. And a lot of people will, when we talk about this, may say, you guys are just paranoid. But I don't understand why we would be paranoid to think that a huge multi-billion dollar industry that's built on trying to do this would just simply choose not to do it. They have the data at their fingertips, but you guys are paranoid for thinking that they use it. Why would you think that they would use it to advertise to us?
Right.
That makes no sense for an advertising company to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why it's paranoid to think that. Now, maybe you could make the argument that it's paranoid to think that they're actually actively listening to you. And I think there's gray area we can talk about there. But it's not paranoid to think that they're going to do everything in their disposal to try to get you to the outcome that they want you to have.
Right.
And that's where things get worrisome, because I do think that human beings are very hackable. That's what the advertisement business is for, is to hack in to give you products to buy. That's what our economy runs on.
Yeah.
I mean, this should be, in some way, I'm trying to offer this as a value-neutral discussion, because I don't know that I have a huge problem with our economy running on advertisement. And that gives us jobs, and it gives us products. We are a consumer culture, and a consumer culture is going to have an advertising component to it. Mm-hmm. But I do think at some point, computers are going to get so good at giving us what we want that it really starts erasing that free will line. And there's been a few times in advertising history where we have drawn that line. One of it was what we used to call subliminal advertising,
mm-hmm.
which was flashing up the words that are too fast for your conscious mind to recognize, but your subconscious does register it, and it does appear as a thought in your head. We drew the line there, but I would argue that technology is getting good enough now to where we're basically experiencing subliminal advertising all the time.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and they're listening to us through our devices, through the microphones. I'm sure that is happening in some cases, maybe a lot of cases, I don't know. But I absolutely know that they're also listening to us, if you will, in what we type in, what we search.
Yeah, they're listening to
sites,
our input.
Yeah, sites that we go to. They may not be detecting our voices, but they're detecting our habits and our likes and our dislikes by what we type into our keyboards.
And it's interesting to me that we have this odd line of, when I talk with my fingers, you can listen to me. When I talk with my voice, I'm a little bit queasy about that.
Right.
But all it's doing is their computers are basically thinking, well, what difference is this input? I mean, what we did for you is the same. We're showing you that it's the same deal by saying, hey, look, would you like to use our voice assistant technology? That way you don't have to talk through your fingers. You can talk through your voice.
Mm-hmm.
We go, wait a second. Those two inputs are totally different when it comes to you being able to advertise to me. And then we want to turn around and say, yeah, those things are totally the same when I want to tell you to do something, though.
You know, I wonder how many times we think, or we hear from P1s who think, wow, I was just having a conversation about the shake weight, and then an ad for it popped up mm-hmm. on my phone. I wonder how often they don't know, but maybe a day or two before they did a Google search for shake weight, and, you know, or something, maybe not as specific as shake weight, but it, that's what triggered the advertisement, mm-hmm. not what they just said 5 minutes ago. It could be either.
Yes. Yeah. That could account for part of it too. But I think a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, I know some places they advertise your mouse. I mean, they analyze your mouse clicks. What do you hover on with your mouse but don't click on?
Mm-hmm.
They can measure that.
Isn't that crazy?
They can measure, like the news stories that you do click on and read. They know which ones you linger on more than others by your scrolling patterns, things like that. And they can build a psychological profile, and they know what you like. And this is where we get into the dangers of the echo chamber. It's like we understand that we get into information silos with, you know, news stories, and we only read about the world, one particular perspective of the world. And then they know that's what you like, not what you want, need to hear. It's what, that's what you like to consume. And they just serve you more of that. And it creates that, that feedback loop of it's self-perpetuating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we know all that stuff's going on, and it just seems like all this is going on right up under the surface, and most of us don't care all that much because as long as we're getting amusement crammed into our five senses, we're okay with the world. But an interesting piece talking about voice profiling. There is a voice profiling revolution underway right now, and that all of these call centers, think about every time you call into a place, what do they say to you? This call is being recorded for
quality assurance.
It's just quality assurance.
That's all it is.
So you just go along with it. It's just quality assurance. But your voice is being recorded, and they talk about some of the applications for this technology is it can listen to your voice as the computer is listening. We already know it's a computer that's listening to our voice, right? Because they're phone trees, and they can tell by the sound of your voice. It's getting very good at analyzing people's voices and knowing, obviously, what gender they are. Many times they can tell what ethnicity you are, and they can tell you what kind of mood you're in. And it can direct your call to a customer service agent that would best fit with that.
Wow.
And it can analyze and know whether you're, if it profiles you as a friendly, talkative person. It can route you knowing that you are a person who's more likely to buy more of their additional products, and it can populate that when you get to a real human screen, you know, customer service representative, they can get to a screen where the computer will then recommend them to try to sell you on this other product, you know, upgrading to get their platinum service protection program, because they know from analyzing your voice what you're more likely to agree to and what you're not, whether you are impressionable to purchase more or not. Also, you know, there was the big thing that came out about which company was it? It was Spotify. Spotify has all these tech patents in this long piece that I read. They went through all the tech patents that were applied for by these various companies, Amazon, Google, Spotify, that show that they have all filed for these patents that allow them to use the recordings of your voice to determine all these things and to serve you. In the case of Spotify, they can serve you music based on your emotional state, your gender, your age, or your accent, according to that patent, and whether or not there's other people in the room with you. And this technology is such to where it will have the fingerprint of people's voices so much, because so many people use streaming music platforms. Well, if they know that your friend is over and you are talking, and they know what your friend likes, imagine that friend's favorite song comes on the radio. Oh, they can. So you're having a great time with your friend, and every song that's being served up is like almost the exact one you were in the mood for and didn't even know it.
Wow.
So it makes it to where, oh, this is great. The world is getting to where it's exactly the way I want it.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Right now.
Right now. And then when it gets to that point, then where are you choosing anything? You've already pre-chosen it by just who you were, and it knows you better than you.
How do y'all feel about this? Are you just kind of going with the flow, and you can't do anything about it, or does it really bother you?
A little bit of both. I like the convenience of it, but it does. I'm a little spooked by it, too.
Like, how do you discover really new genres of music when you have an algorithm that is so good at serving you up the exact same thing you already kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to strike out on your own at that point.
But think about most of us. We don't want to strike out on our own.
No.
We got stress. We just want what we like whenever we want it. And if Mama Computer gives that to me, if Mama AI gives me the milk from the digital teeth that I like, I just want that all the time, man. Yeah.
Boy, we are wired that way, to just retreat to what is comfortable.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's getting more and more that way. And part of this feels really empowering. We have all this technology that's able to know us so well that it gives us what we want whenever we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, when we're so addicted to our own preferences and to our own convenience, then life becomes something different than it was before.
Yeah.
Because it really is all the gray area between your desires and actually obtaining what you want. That's where all of life is, or at least all of human life up to this point has been.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fact that we can all win the Tour de France that makes the Tour de France valuable. It's the fact that you have to struggle to get there to get it.
Right.
It's the fact that not everybody can afford the huge house or the car or to write a song. Whatever those human strivings are, at some point we're not going to have any striving because technology will make it to where we can all have that.
Yeah, what do you want the song to be about? Okay, just the computer.
I mean, think about that. That's going to be great.
The songs we've been listening to.
The song can write a computer in a millisecond. It can write the greatest hit of your life because it knows your personality so well, what all you like, and then it can create the music. You don't even have to listen to music that was done before the second that you decided to punch play. I mean, it's amazing.
God.
And it's also weird.
Yes. What a fascinating world we live in.
Because life is going to be very different.
All right, Gordo, great stuff. Thank you. That is The Corner. It's 9:34 on The Ticket. Coming up next, Dr. J with a hot sports opinion.